जय राधा माधव
यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी
जय श्रीपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 29 टेक्स्ट 11 थ्रू I guess about 14 or 15, we'll see. Text 11 for today. Nalini nalini nase Gandha saurabha uchyate Ghrano avadhuto mukhyasyam Vipano vagras vidrasah नलिनी नालिनी नासे गंध सौरभ उच्यते घ्राणो वधूतो मुख्यास्याम विपणो वाग्रस विद्रसः नलिनी नालिनी नासे गंध सौरभ उच्यते घ्राणो वधूतो मुख्यास्यम विपणो वाग्रस विद्रसः। नलिनी नलिनी नासे गंध सौरभ उच्यते घ्राणो वदूतो मुख्यास्यम विपणो वाग्रस विद्रसः. लेडीज प्लीज. Nalini, named Nalini. Nalini, named Nalini. Nase, the two nostrils. Gandha, aroma. Saurabha, Saurabha, or fragrance. Uchyate, is called. Ghranaha, the sense of smell. Avadhuta, called Avadhuta. Mukhya, called Mukhya, or principle. Asyam, the mouth. Vipanaha, named Vipana. Vak, the faculty of speech. Rasavit, named Rasagya, expert in tasting. Rasaha, the sense of taste. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. The two doors named Nalini and Nalini should be known as the two nostrils. And the city named Saurabha represents aroma. The companion spoken of as Avadhuta is the sense of smell. The door called Mukhya is the mouth, and Vipana is the faculty of speech. Rasagya is the sense of taste. Purport. The word Avadhuta means most free. A person is not under the rules and regulations of any injunction when he has attained the stage of Avadhuta. In other words, he can act as he likes. This Avadhuta stage is exactly like air, which does not care for any obstruction. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text 34, it is said, Chanchalam himana Krishna pramathi balavadrudham tasyaham nigraham manye vayo rivasudushkaram. Quote, the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong, O Krishna. And to subdue it is, it seems to me, more difficult than controlling the wind. End quote. Just as the air or wind cannot be checked by anyone, the two nostrils, situated in one place, enjoy the sense of smell without impediment. When the tongue is present, The mouth continually tastes all kind of relishable foodstuffs. Text 12. Apuno vyavaharutra chitram andho bahudanam pitruhur dakshina karna uttaro devahu smritaha. The city called Apana represents engagement of the tongue in speech, And Bahudana is the variety of foodstuffs. The right ear is called the gate of Pitruhu, and the left ear is called the gate of Devahu. Text 13. Pravritam cha nivritam cha shastram panchala samnitam pitruryanam devayanam shrotrat shrutadharat vrajet. Narada Muni continued, this city spoken of as Dakshina Panchala represents the scriptures meant for directing pravriti, the process of sense enjoyment in fruitive activities. The other city, named Uttara Panchala, represents the scriptures meant for decreasing fruitive activities and increasing knowledge. The living entity receives different kinds of knowledge by means of 2 years, and some living entities are promoted to Pitraloka and some to Devaloka. All this is made possible by the 2 years. Purport. The Vedas are known as Shruti, and the knowledge received from them through oral reception is also called Shrutidhara. Shrutadhara. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, one can be promoted to the planets of the demigods, or to the planets of the Pitas, forefathers, or even to the Vaikuntha planets, simply through the process of hearing. These things have already been explained in previous chapters. Tomorrow's text will be 14. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so Narada Muni is further describing the different senses and how the living entity within the city of 9 gates comes out of these gates to contact the sense objects. So each of the gates has a name, the sense object has a name, and the sense itself has a name as well. So, nostrils, Nalini and Nalini are the two nostrils. And the city named Saurabha represents aroma. And there is Avadhuta, the sense of smell. And Prabhupada says, the meaning of Avadhuta means most free. There is no restriction. In the Vedic scripture, there are two extremes of personalities. There are the human beings within the Varnashram, meaning the social and spiritual orders, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. These are the spiritual orders. And there are the social orders, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. So in this structure of Varna and Ashram, humanity can find occupation. Humanity can find engagement so that they can gradually develop their God consciousness, directly or indirectly. Then there are the two extremes. And both extremes, in one sense, are avadhutas. Although we don't refer to the lower extreme as avadhuta generally. Because the lower extreme are the chandalas, below the shudras, who don't follow any rules. They cannot. Becoming civilized is not even a consideration for them. It's not within their capacity. Of course, by the contact of a pure devotee, even the chandala can become the most exalted personality. He can go from this extreme to that extreme. But it takes a personality from that extreme to meet a person to this extreme. And on this side, the other extreme, are the avadutas, those who are not bound by shastric or Vedic injunctions. They're not bound by because they don't need Vedic regulations. The word regulation means to guide or to direct. And those who don't have a direction need direction. Those already have directions, they don't need it anymore. They are also called Atma Ramas. Atma Arama. Not Arama like in Hindi, like relaxing. But Arama means completely relishing in on the level of the soul. Atma Arama. They are also called Atmavit. Or tattvavits, for example. So these personalities, because they are completely satisfied on the level of the spirit soul, so we understand in the on the platform of Krishna consciousness, they don't have any needs from this world. Nothing in this world can meet their needs. They don't have anything that they're looking for from this world. Atma Ramascha Munaya Nirgranthi Api Urukrame. So these personalities, Nirgranthi, they don't have any ties to this material world. Another meaning is they're not bound by the rules and regulations of scripture, Grantha. So they are completely free. They can do as they like. So Lord Nityananda was called Avadhuta because he was like that. Sometimes the picture of Avadhuta is that they don't even wear clothes, they just sprawl on the floor, they roll here and there. Well, that is also true. Like the example of King Rishabhdev or Jadabharat, they were completely Avadhutas. And they do so because they absolutely have nothing in relation to this material world. They see themselves so separate from their material body that most of other persons who are so identified with their body cannot understand their free movement. So avadutas are personalities that generally we don't go and take too much of association from. Another avaduta is Vamsidas Babaji. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had warned his disciples and followers. That is Vamsidas Babaji. He is way outside the Varnashram system. You can pay respects to him from a distance, but don't go and associate. Not because his association is bad, it's because his association cannot be fully understood properly. Because the platform on which he was operating is not something that sadhakas can relate to. Like Vamsidas Babaji would take a stick and strike Krishna if he didn't have his lunch or something like that. So it's not something for those in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti can relate to, and it's not something you can follow either. So the avadutas are like, so they have complete freedom. So Prabhupada's explaining that air or the sense of smell is like that. There is absolutely no impediment. I was thinking about it. The word avadhuta is used here for one reason is we can close our eyes and say that I will not look at something. I can close my ears and say, I will not hear something. But I cannot close my nose and say, I will not smell something. Because I cannot do it for long enough. Because if I stop breathing, then I will not be there to see or smell or hear anything. So there is no impediment for the sense of smell. The sense of smell is a very potent sense, because by it, it actually awakens, in one sense, the other senses as well. Now all the senses work together. So suppose there is Mahaprasadam, and it looks nice, but there's no fragrance, then doesn't activate the digestive juices. We can look at a gulab jamun, but it's not, unless it has fragrance, unless it has taste, it does not satisfy. So there are certain things for which the sense of smell is very powerful and it's useful. The fragrance of incense, the fragrance of sandalwood paste that we offer to the deities, tulsi, like the four kumaras became Vaishnavas, simply smelling the fragrant tulsi buds that were offered to the Lord's lotus feet. So here the sense of smell and is compared to air that has no obstruction. So Prabhupada quotes from the Bhagavad Gita that we were discussing yesterday. Chanchalam hi mana krishna, pramathi balavadrudham. These are the characteristics of the mind. Chanchala, restless. Pramathi, turbulent. Balavad is strong or obstinate. And drudham, very strong. Actually, balavad is strong and drudham is obstinate. So Prabhupada says, just as the air or wind cannot be checked, the two nostrils enjoy the sense of smell without impediment. Verse, the names are provided. Apana means the engagement of the tongue in speech, and Bahudana means the engagement of tongue in tasting variety of foodstuffs. So before that, there's a door called Mukhya. That's the principal door. From Mukhya, Vipana is the faculty of speech. Now, we don't have to remember these names. We're not going to be quizzed on any of these at the time of death. The Vaikuntavasis will come and say, well, let me say, what is the left nostril called? Well, I don't know. Prabhupada didn't say left or right. He just said Nalini and Nalini. But he didn't say left, right, left nostril or right nostril. Sorry, you cannot enter Vaikuntha. Too bad. Although they're not, the reason these are provided is for us to appreciate Narada Muni's thoroughness in the allegory, and how he has provided with these names, there is some significance. For us, what's important is to understand that this whole structure, the material body within which the spirit soul is, I guess, residing or trapped, has so many activities that he performs. Thinking, I am this body, I am the king, I am the queen, or I am the ruler of this city of nine gates. And I can freely enjoy without any restriction as I like. And all of these senses are meant for the service of the king. So they all have names, they're all attendants, because the spirit soul, bewildered by material energy, thinks of himself as the enjoyer. Purusha prakriti sthohi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu. So within this material realm, this body, the spirit soul has this severe, this intense spirit of being the enjoyer. And all these attendants, Nalini, Nalini, etc., they all are ready to serve. They're all prepared. And so he enjoys without restriction. Or he thinks that he's enjoying without restriction. And that is the cause of bondage within this world. We understand that a very severe sense of attachment to this world comes by the usage of the tongue. By how we use our tongue, we actually generate more karmic reactions. By eating or tasting foodstuffs without restriction, that means there are other living entities that have to give themselves up for a person's satisfaction. So meat eating or unrestricted eating. Just a side note, we're not just proponents of vegetarianism. Because even in vegetarian diet, there is karmic reaction. We are for eating prasadam. We're not for vegetarianism per se. But by the agency of the tongue, severe karmic reactions are generated. That means by eating unrestrictedly or eating without recognizing the source as Vishnu. So Krishna uses the term in Bhagavad Gita, stena eva hi saha. The person who doesn't acknowledge the source as Vishnu and doesn't offer food back to Vishnu is a thief indeed. Doesn't offer that food back in sacrifice to yajna is a thief indeed. And he is eating nothing but sin. And the other way we generate severe karmic reactions is by our speech. Because speech is an activity. We also use our hands and legs to act, but we act with our speech. And the effect of speech is far more intense than the effect of hands and legs. Because with our hands and legs, we can move things to a limited degree. But with our speech, we can move things to a very large degree. We can cause upliftment of a great number of people, or we can cause the downfall of a great number of people simply by speech. So a person's character is known by their speech. The quality of their character is known by their speech. That's why Arjuna asks in Bhagavad Gita, Sthita Prajnasya Ka Bhasha? What is his language? How does he speak? Because by speech, it can relieve, good speech can relieve one from suffering in this world. And bad speech can put one to sleep and also relieve one from suffering. There's a church joke. There's, you know, in churches there are persons who type certain messages and put it out for people to see. So one of the messages, because there was a typo, this is how it turned out. One of the congregation members was severely sick. They were at the hospital. So the message that was put out to the congregation was, I think her name was, whatever, let's say Jessica. Jessica is very sick in the hospital, and she appreciates all the flowers that have been sent to her. She's having sleepless nights, so she has requested Pastor John's lectures to help her fall asleep. So sometimes pastors, or many times, pastors can speak and mitigate the suffering for people by putting them to sleep. Because otherwise, if they are awake to hear the speech, then the suffering is far more intense. But we have seen in history that the persons can speak in such a way that they can agitate a whole mob to do things that perhaps they wouldn't do on their own. There were great orators like Hitler or personalities who could rile up a whole set of crowd. Osama or Obama, either way, they're all great orators. And they had a particular ideology, they had a particular principle that they could gather people around it. And then we have our acharyas and Srila Prabhupada, that by his speech, although people couldn't understand his accent, but by his speech they knew, oh, this person is very pure. And this person has the power to help me understand something higher dimensional that is not even within the realm of my consciousness. In the your ever well wisher video, Mukunda Maharaj remembers about Srila Prabhupada. They said his Swamiji sat there, he sat on a high seat and had this big book. He would open the big book and quote Sanskrit verses that we never understood what he was saying. But you could say, just from looking at him and by his way of speaking, you could say that he had something very profound to offer. And simply by speaking, they can relieve one from great amount of suffering. So the purpose of speech, Krishna describes the austerity of speech, is that it should be uplifting. It should be beneficial to someone else. So our austerity of using the faculty of speech, vipana, is in benefiting others. If we cannot benefit others, then at least not harm others, minimally. So the faculty of mauna is to not speak is when we don't have anything useful to say for anyone's benefit. And if we have something to say, then our consciousness should be how to benefit the person. Such speech, Krishna says, is austere speech. Mostly speech is yakety-yak, and it comes out without any thinking, it comes out without any deliberation. In fact, it comes out and then we look at it and say, whoa, how did I say that? Why did I say that? So speech is very important. Now on the receiving end are the two ears, and they are called, the right ear is called Pitruhu, and the left ear is called Devahu. So depending on which ear is used for the messages, one is uplifted differently. So the Vedic messages actually are either spoken in the left ear or the right ear. The messages spoken in the left ear are meant for upliftment to the Pitra, planets of the Pitris, or the forefathers, meaning fully karmakanda messages are usually spoken in the left ear. So when a guru gives initiation, especially into karmakanda rituals and karmakanda teachings, the messages are spoken into the left ear. And when the messages are about nivritti, nivritti means gradually decreasing one's engagement within this material world and uplifting on the devotional platform, the messages are spoken into the right ear. So actually, when initiation happens, the Gayatri mantra, etc., are all spoken into the right ear by the guru, because through that ear is received all the Vedic mantras for elevation in spiritual consciousness. So here Prabhupada says, the Vedas are known as Shruti, and the knowledge received from them through oral reception is called Shrutadhara. Shruta means to hear, and Dhara means to hold. Because knowledge that is not held is not knowledge. There was a person who came to a town and he had three dolls with him. And all three dolls looked exactly identical. And so people came to ask him, are these dolls for sale? He said, yeah, this doll is $10, this doll is $100, and this doll is $1,000. So they asked him, I don't see any difference. He said, yeah. Anyone who can tell me what the difference is, I'll give them these dolls for free. So a lot of people came in with their magnifying glasses. Some people came with, you know, different instruments to check if they're made of different metals or elements, and are there any little blemishes in one, any flaws, and thoroughly checked. Every villager came and checked, and they couldn't tell. Then a saintly sage came, and he said, please get me a straw. So they got him a straw. So for the first doll, which was only a buck, that was from Dollar Tree, he put the straw in the through one ear, and lo and behold, the straw came out of the other ear. And he said, this is why this doll is only $1 worth. Because whatever it hears comes out of the other ear. What's called, they have an air tunnel, comes out through other. And he gave to the second doll. He put the straw through one ear, and the straw came out of the mouth. And he said, it's all right. This doll hears something, but it means they cannot keep it. Has to say it out. It doesn't have value. Cannot keep any secret. The Vedic mantras were supposed to be secret. Once said in the ear, they're not supposed to be uttered unless there is a qualified disciple. They said, this is $10, at least hearing. The third one put the straw in the ear and went right in. Nothing didn't come out. He said, this doll is valuable because the message goes right into the heart. So Shrutadhara means the message is held within the core of the heart and applied. Not applied wrongly. A wrong application creates more problem. In Panchatantra, there's a story. I have to tell stories just to keep everyone, because what's this? Pastor John's speech can be. So in Panchatantra, there's a story about a guru who teaches a disciple a very special, potent knowledge. But the fellow is foolish. He doesn't know how to use it. He doesn't know how to use it in the right application. So he gives him a special knowledge of how to recite certain mantras and sprinkle water on a dead body and revive it back to life. And he says, this mantra will work even if the, in the flesh and everything has been completely eaten away and only the skeleton is there. Even then this will work. And he graduated, and he was very happy. He threw his graduation hat, was very happy, took pictures, his degree, and he was walking back home. As he was walking back, he saw a skeleton. And he saw that skeleton, it had four legs, a few bones that looked like a tail, a big head. He said, I wonder what this animal is. He said, anyway, I've just graduated. I should check out if this mantra actually works. You know, I was very enthusiastic at graduation, but I don't know if this works. I'm sure it will work because my guru gave it to me. So he chanted this mantra, sprinkled that water, and lo and behold, it transformed into a lion. The lion came back to life and had him for breakfast, and that was done. So knowledge, Shrutadhara, just doesn't mean hold it, but apply it properly to know. So the sensitivity, the expertise of a spiritualist is to receive knowledge properly, hold it in the core of the heart in a way that it allows for proper application. And through that application, one becomes uplifted, or one traverses the journey back to Godhead. Otherwise, all these senses, although they are very powerful, they lead one in the very opposite direction. They lead one towards the path of degradation. So we'll hear more about the other faculties tomorrow. So, sermon done. Wake up time. Any comments or questions? Yes, you mentioned. Yes, bro.
So, we often hear these senses as pure devotee and fully spiritualized.
Correct.
Nishta, or he's finished Anatta Nivritti. He's not fully a pure devotee yet, but he's no longer just starting out. So how does he use the senses, and how do the senses work?
The difference between using the senses in Nishta stage and the difference in using the senses in, I guess, Bhava or Prema stage, is that in Nishta stage, the faculty of intelligence is still very active, that guides, I should use my senses like this, I should not use my senses like that. In the Bhava and Prema stage, that's not there. This is just by nature, spontaneously serving Krishna out of love. The consideration or the possibility of senses being used in some other way is not even there. So that Nishta, because still Ruchi and Asakti haven't awakened, Nishta is just, I'm very cautious, clear of how I'm using my senses in Krishna's service. Person is called Sthita Pragya, the consciousness is fixed. This is for service, this is not for service. Like that. The faculty of intelligence is active in that way. It guides the person. That's my understanding. Yeah?
Hare Krishna. I wonder if you could speak about how does one become an avaduta? Is that something to aspire for? It's kind of like an anomaly that I don't understand. And I,
Technically the day one takes off one's clothes and walks around, that's avaduta. I'm kidding. How does one become an avaduta? Should we aspire for it? No, we don't need to aspire for it. The meaning of avaduta is free, has multiple connotations. One is at this stage, or any stage, one is not free of one's body or bodily identification. For example, animals are free, they don't wear clothes. Except if you're a dog in America, you put on clothes and jackets and paws and socks and all funny stuff. But animals don't put on clothes. It's not like one dog looks at another dog and says, hey, no clothes, naked. Human beings do. Except if you're somewhere in California. But you do. Because the sense of identification with the body is very extreme. The sense of the false ego in terms of vanity, it's like, you have to be dressed nicely. Because it enhances one's vanity. So avaduta is that they don't need that. Because the sense of vanity is not there. They're not identifying with the body as something that has value. So they don't worry. They're called, another word is used, dressed by the directions. What's that word in Sanskrit? Digambara, thank you. Diga, dik means the directions. Ambara means clothes. Dressed by the directions. Shukadeva Goswami was like that. So there's a reference. When Shukadeva Goswami, when he appeared in this world, he was in his mother's womb for 13 years. And when he came out, heard Shruti mantras, and by the time he was 16, he was ready to speak Bhagavatam. And as he left home, Vyasadeva followed him. Oh, my son, stay at home. He just walked away. And it's described that he was not wearing any clothes. And as he walked by a lake where young women were bathing, and when he walked by, they didn't care to cover themselves. Because he was not in this bodily identification at all. So they felt completely safe that he was walking by. But as soon as Vyasadeva came, they had to cover themselves. Not that Vyasadeva was, you know, but they identified him as completely avadhuta. Vyasadeva was playing the role of a householder. So they made that distinction, his household. Now the same, without that realization, Nalakuvera and Manigriva were also standing, naked and intoxicated. And Narada sprinkled water and made them Arjuna trees for some tens of thousands of years. They were not avadhutas. They were on this extreme. So avadhuta, free, means not entangled by the body. This material body does not go back to Godhead.
I know, but I'm asking, would that qualify one as an avadhuta at that point if one is completely identified with their
spiritual being, yes. Well, in the strictest sense of things, yes. But not in the manifestation or demonstration of it, no.
Because he's not bound, but he's choosing to do this.
Because Prabhupada within this realm was very much acting on the Madhyama platform to preach, although Uttamadhikari had a very specific function that he was performing. Lord Nityananda didn't care. He ran around here and there. So I saw some other hands up. Any comments about avadhutas? Realizations of avadhutas? Edward? Jitendra Prabhu Rasikamanjal.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. I had a question when you were mentioning that speech should only be used for the upliftment of other living entities. So I was wondering how that relates to, especially when we're in that neophyte position and our ability to discriminate is not so strong, how do we relate that to even speaking to, let's say, an absolute newcomer? Because I know that that's also very important. So
yeah, but it can still be used for benefiting them. Even chastisement is used for benefiting someone. So the point about benefiting others means there is consideration of how to serve the other person, and in that there is room for everything that can be said.
So then if I can respond, so if it's not coming from a platform of love or upliftment, then we should keep our mouth shut.
Well, it doesn't have to come necessarily from love, but it can come from at least the, how can I benefit this person?
Okay. Thank you.
Like if you're in South India, and you're lost on the streets, especially Chennai, you ask them which way, and they will all say this way. It doesn't matter. They'll all say this way. You may have to go that way, but they'll say this way. This way. That's not beneficial speech, for example. Because they're busy in their store. Excuse me, sir, which way? This way. This way. They don't even hear what you're saying. So if you go to South India, don't be lost. That's the point. Jitendra Prabhu? I'm sorry, I'm not serious today, because Pastor John.
I was just thinking about dress code. Srila Prabhupada would always dress very properly. I think he said, dress the part and then say the part, or something to that effect.
First dress, then address.
Yeah. There you go. Another thing I was thinking about, there's a fellow that passed away here about 10, 12 years ago, and he had jaundice. So
who?
His name was Bhakta Mark.
Okay.
I don't know. And we were supposed to meet here at the temple, and then we were going to go to the funeral home. So my friend was here, and I was here, and we were waiting for the other guy. So the other guy comes, and he's wearing shorts and a football jersey that's like 77 on it, and he says, let's go. I said, we're not going with you, you know. You don't go to funerals or wakes like that, you know. And he just couldn't understand it. So I don't know, time, place, and circumstance. Mm. I just, you know, thought that he would, you know, understand that, but he had a hard time understanding that. Hare Krishna.
Rasika Manjari. You have a joke to share?
No, I'm a little scared to ask. You may make fun of me.
Okay, I'll try not to.
It's not really a question in my mind, but it's just something that came to my mind as you were speaking. And
these are dangerous ones.
I want to hear more about it. Again, Avadhuta, but not so much on the Avadhuta part, but reading in Bhagavatam about Rishabhdev, and right. Then reading about the Avanti Brahmana, it almost like Rishabhdev is there, and the Avanti Brahmana, we go through the process,
right.
Where he takes us through that process, but it seems so real, like when we go through the arguments and reach the point of it's my mind, and it's how I'm relating with things and people and everything around and emotions. It's here.
Okay.
Like, that state seems so practical and real.
Possible. Correct.
Like, it just seems, yeah, you know? Like, it's so tangible and it makes so much sense. But when we read about Rishabhdev, it's just like, whoa, what's that? So I don't know what my question is, but I'm just trying to... I guess I want to hear something more about it.
So let me connect it back to Richard's question. Can we become Avadhutas? Yeah, the answer is yes and no. We don't have to be Avadhuta with the, you know, tear off our clothes and walk around style. But we can become free from bodily identification. Now, Rishabhdev exhibited such severe austerities that only the personality of Godhead can do something like that. I mean, it's said that his stool had fragrance for up to 8 miles or something. No need to aspire for that one. But Avanti Brahmana, on the other hand, went through proper sadhana that helped him come to the realization that my suffering is not there. It is here because of the way I identify myself. The moment he came to that understanding, it didn't matter if the villagers were spitting at him, urinating in his bowl, or passing air at him, pelting him with stones. So my mind is telling me that these are all offenses or insults. It doesn't matter. It's my mind. Although I'm the spirit soul is not insulted by anyone. So who are they insulting? The moment I think of me as a person, as a brahmana or someone, then the insult, the false ego is feeling pinched. The Bhagavatam doesn't describe the same kind of austerities for Avanti Brahmana, but we understand it's the same platform. Rishabhdeva as a king became completely renounced. Avanti Brahmana became renounced from Brahmanical platform. Their platform of understanding their identity was very similar. Very similar. He is already a perfected being. We can say the Avanti Brahmana achieved perfection through the stages of his life. But regardless, they became free. Free means to not be identifying with this material body. Yes, Prabhu, straight from the altar. Right. He wasn't walking around without clothes. Correct. Thank you. There is also an emperor without clothes. You know that story of the emperor without clothes? That's not in the Bhagavatam. That is from Sri Srimad Shakespeare or some person, a great personality like that. Anyway, I'm not narrating that story. 13th canto. Okay, everyone's joking. It's like, right. Anything else? Anyone has anything serious, worthwhile to contribute? Yes, Karunanidhi Prabhu.
I was just trying to add about Shruti Dharam.
Shruti Dhar?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then how Lord Chaitanya, you know, when he was hearing...
Yeah, see, this is valuable.
...that Kesava Bharati was narrating, you know, he's describing about Mother Ganges, you know, anything like, you know, like a wind blowing, you know, speaking very fluently, so many slokas. But Lord Chaitanya pointed out one mistake, and Bharata Hari, is how the, you know, Ganges has two husbands. Then he pointed out the fault. Then Kesava Bharati wondered how he could point out my fault, you know, out of all so many.
Keshava Kashmiri.
Keshava Kashmiri. Then he said, by God's grace, you became so orator, someone also became Shrutidhar. Like that one, he can hear. And another thing also, in this connection, yesterday you said very nice point that to control the mind, one has to practice mantra, sloka every day. So in that connection I was thinking, it is also stated, if one are, I have heard from other senior Vaishnavas and Maharaj, they say that if you chant very sincerely, very nicely, with concentrating on Mahamantra, your brain will be very sharp. Then you can hear also nicely. Then you become nice Shruti Dhar also.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Just a point on for our own practice, we might even start to get some kind of we're moving in the direction of understanding we're not our body. I find the difficulty in bhakti yoga is that we still have to use the body, though. Right? So, it seems practically impossible to understand that, okay, while I'm not this tool, I still have to engage it in such a way. Like, for us, very simply, like, bodily service, right? And so I wonder, my question is, how do we understand that in relationship, you know, because we function within a community responsibly, hopefully, using this tool, and then, I don't know, being in a position where we can't use our body and understanding that we're not the body but still being connected. I don't know how clear of a question this is, but...
Today Pastor John is really dull at it. I can't get it.
You don't understand the question?
My speech put me to sleep.
Okay, so one can understand that they're not their body but still need to use it for something.
Mm.
So while the identification might not be there, the body might not be cooperating.
Okay. So have you ever had a car that you have the key and the money for the fuel, but the car doesn't work? Jitendra Prabhu's white Toyota?
So you're still so where's the freedom there?
Where is the freedom?
Yeah.
The freedom is that one doesn't identify oneself with, I'm useless, I'm not doing any service, or I don't want to... is the identification that today this machine is not working. So this machine needs dunkers. Huh? It's the auto body shop, sorry. Jitendra Prabhu stopped smiling. The moment you say something about dunkers, he doesn't like it. Very nice auto body shop. We have to take it to do what is necessary so you can use the tool in Krishna's service. So when sometimes the body doesn't cooperate, sometimes, many times, the body doesn't cooperate. So you have to understand what is it that is necessary to keep this machine going. So you do what's needful.
That day you walk.
Huh?
That day you walk, maybe.
Whatever. For different people, it's different things. But if you can... Don't leave. Sorry, Prabhu. Okay. For different people, it's different things. For different people, the machine works differently. You got to go. Someone has a flat tire, someone needs, you know, different ways. But to know what is required to keep the machine going is important. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.